I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, is Portland a war zone or a peaceful protest? Well, I went down there to find out. Plus, Seattle leaders are using what's happening in Oregon to ratchet up their fear-mongering over Donald Trump and distract from their own failures once again. And where is Governor Bob Ferguson? Someone who preaches the importance of transparency sure has a hard time being transparent himself. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I am fresh off a trip to Portland, wild 2 days there. And I know what you're thinking, Brandi. We told you you shouldn't be in the middle of Antifa riots anymore. It's far too dangerous. But there was so much gaslighting happening over the weekend on what's going on in Portland and the truth of what's happening on the ground outside an ICE facility there after like 100 plus days of unrest, that I was like, you know me, I cannot pass up an opportunity to try to call out elected leaders for their absolute utter BS. And so I spent roughly 2 days down there. We're going to cover some of that. I'm going to give you my insights on what I saw today. And then tonight, I do want you to know we're going to be airing a special report. It is called 48 Hours in Portland, very aptly named, where I'll take you on the ground inside what's happening there at the ICE facility and also what's happening in downtown Portland, which is a relevant part of the story when we're talking about whether Portland is truly safe, clean, calm, and peaceful, as the governor of Oregon would have you believe. So tune in for that tonight, 48 Hours in Portland. It will post this evening across all of our platforms, 10 p.m. Pacific time. All right, so to set this up, I think it's important to understand sort of what kicked this off. Now, you guys know, because we've talked about it on the show, that there have been ongoing protests outside an ICE facility about 2 miles outside of downtown Portland. We've played for you repeatedly over the last 100 days a lot of the interactions that Antifa types have had with people like our friend, independent journalist Katie Davis-Court, who's been attacked, stalked, harassed by Antifa while she's down there trying to report on what's happening. You'll also know that there have been around 25 arrests at last check made by the federal government that have resulted in federal charges against demonstrators. So this has been going on for a long time, and it has been serious. And it, you know, I think was thrust into the national spotlight because of what President Donald Trump said on Saturday. He, of course, took to social media. And look, he did what Donald Trump does. He was very, in my humble opinion, a tad bit hyperbolic, but stressing that he saw what was happening in Portland, he was going to do something about it. He said, at the request of Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, I'm directing Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland and any of our ICE facilities under siege from attack by Antifa and other domestic terrorists. I am also authorizing full force if necessary. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So I saw that post from President Donald Trump, and I was like, holy smokes, it is on in Portland. And the war-ravaged part of it didn't really stand out to me as being necessarily problematic, because remember, one of the reasons I was able to come around to Donald Trump is I stopped taking everything he said literally. So I'm like, he doesn't really literally think that Portland is a war zone. I don't believe. But based on what's been happening there for 100 days, said there is a possibility, and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, that they might need troops on the ground there. And so he said he's authorized it. My understanding is that there is right now an active ongoing effort to deploy a couple hundred National Guard troops to the ground there. So he pushes that out, and the left lost their ever-loving minds over it. And this is what really got me, because I talk about the blatant lies from politicians a lot, especially on the West Coast. But this was a whole new level of trying to pull the wool over the eyes of Americans. So Oregon Governor Tina Kotek responded, you know, immediately and basically said, Oregon's safe and calm, you know, nothing to see here. We'll update everyone when we know more. And then she posted this. In my conversations directly with President Trump and Secretary Noem, I have been abundantly clear that Portland and the state of Oregon believe in the rule of law and can manage our own local public safety needs. There is no insurrection. Okay. Portland and the state of Oregon believe in the rule of law and can manage our own local public safety needs. I want to play for you. I know I skipped over it, Nicole, but we'll go back to it. A little bit of the raw video that I got on the ground that you're going to see in our special report tonight as a way to sort of set you up for my response to the governor of Oregon.
It's unnecessary. If we take care of ourselves and the immigrants that are being affected by this institution here, the ICE agents, is unnecessary. They're a valuable part of our community.
They break the noise ordinances, and the city of Portland won't do anything about it. So my girlfriend, she's a beautiful woman that's in a wheelchair. There's, you know, a bunch of other women that are here that are, they're just afraid to come out. They will not come out without me. So they all text me like when they're gonna come outside. Because they're afraid of what these people are gonna do to them.
Honestly, because you are not out here in good faith. I'm not threatening you.
I mean, you're.
I am not threatening you. How am I being hostile by raising my voice at you? Is that not freedom of speech?
I'm talking about the lights in our eyes.
How about this? How about this?
No,
my hands are up.
I'm talking about the lights in our eyes.
Oh no! You got some light in your eyes, motherfucker.
That's my life. Arguing with a man in a cat mask. That's essentially could sum up really my two nights in Portland. So that is a really good encapsulation of what we saw there over 48 hours, okay? And you're going to see a lot more with a lot more context and information on the ground in our special report tonight. But I wanted to give you a taste of it because, you know, when you see the comment, and I'll revisit it again, from the governor of Oregon, Tina Kotek, I have been abundantly clear that Portland and the state of Oregon believe in the rule of law and can manage our own local public safety needs. My response to that is, well, why aren't you? If you believe in the rule of law and you can manage your own public safety needs, there is absolutely no doubt whether you want to call it war ravaged. I don't think it's a war zone. I've seen, you know, worse rioting and situations in Seattle in 2020 and actually more recently than that at ICE facilities here. But the crux of what's happening in Portland is the longevity of it. Months on end, where this has been happening, where there's been assaults on federal agents, assaults on journalists, where you have a community that feels like it is being held hostage, some of them, by this situation. So when Tina Kotek says, we believe in the rule of law and we can manage our own public safety needs, well, it's been 100 days, so why haven't you? The presence of Portland police, not federal agents, Portland police in this zone was almost non-existent. We would see, as we were down there, a couple Portland police officers here and there, you know, monitoring things. They would occasionally, if there was a police report that needed to be made, for instance, Katie Davis Court had to file a police report for harassment and attempted theft. They would come in. They would deal with specific issues. But the only time I saw that Portland police make any sort of effort to clear the streets there outside the ICE facility was, if you're watching this video right now, they brought in a few bicycle officers and they gave up after a minute. 1 minute, 2 days. That's the only effort I saw from the Portland Police Department to try to restore order to that area. So it's important to understand that the only confrontations happening outside that ICE facility right now between federal agents and the protesters/rioters are when federal agents are trying to get in and out of the building. That's it. They have the whole place boarded up, but the protesters are blocking, and it's hard because some of them are just protesting, but the rioters block the Sally Port. And so federal agents, every freaking time they need to get a vehicle in or out, they have to don riot gear and go out there, and then there's a confrontation. So if Portland police had done their job, and I think they probably want to, but their chief of police is a coward who teaches DEI courses, so that gives you an idea. And the mayor of Portland, clearly cowards, if they didn't want federal intervention with their citizens who are out there in the street, they would take it upon themselves at some point in the last 100 days to make sure that people aren't blocking the entrance and exit to the ICE building so business can continue as usual. People can keep protesting. So when she says, again, we believe in the rule of law, clearly not. And we can manage our own local public safety needs. Clearly not. Because you have shown incapable of doing that. So what is the federal government to do? It seems that the option that you're giving the Trump administration and the Department of Homeland Security is either continue to clash night after night after night, month after month, with this domestic terror faction, or do nothing. And your building will be rendered useless. And I think that's what the city of Portland wants. Remember, they're already trying to take away the permit for that building because they don't like what's happening there, immigration efforts, immigration enforcement. So to me, in everything I saw and everything I've heard, the city of Portland, if it wanted to manage, and the chief of Portland police came out and said, this is being over-exaggerated, it's a one block area in a massive city. To which my response when I saw that was, if it's a one block area, chief, why can't you get it under control? So there's no doubt in my mind that some sort of federal intervention is needed to put an end to what's happening there. Because the city of Portland is either incapable of or unwilling to do it. Because doing nothing is not an option. The status quo of nightly confrontations between federal agents and Antifa factions is not tenable. And I believe the city of Portland wants this, to be able to make some sort of political point to distract from some of the larger issues they're dealing with. You know, one of the biggest gaslighting things that I saw that made me like, middle of the night, I got to go down to Portland. So Sunday, they were planning a rally, right? They were going to do a march. The governor, the mayor of Portland, the governor of Oregon, Democratic leaders, they were going to do a march through downtown Portland. And they'd already been putting out all this stuff like, nothing to see here, folks. United States Senator Ron Wyden had put a video out noon on Sunday outside the ICE facility when really no one's there. And it's boarded up and he said, I don't see a war zone here. Totally disingenuous, because if he had taken the same video later on that night, it would have looked kind of like a war zone. And the media was just eating it up like, oh, Trump's exaggerating this. So they do this march, and Tina Kotek on X, I'm sure her team, posted this. Today I was in downtown Portland walking peacefully with Oregonians to say that we don't need military intervention here. We are peaceful, we are united, we are Oregon. And you'll notice in these images, if you're watching, not listening today, don't you find it odd how tightly cropped those images are? Don't you find it odd that they're in this march that, yes, hundreds of people attended, but those images of her marching through downtown Portland are so tightly cropped. And anyone with a brain can look at the background and know exactly why. There's two big problems here. The ICE facility isn't in downtown Portland. It is 2 miles away. So this suggestion that, you know, oh, downtown Portland is a beautiful, vibrant place and we're marching through it and all this, it doesn't even make any sense, because that's not where the ICE facility is. And that's not what we're talking about here. But while you bring it up, I went down to the exact spot, matched the boards up, matched the businesses up in the background, so I could see what the governor's office was cropping out of that image. And let me tell you, the wider picture is not pretty. I got a tour of downtown Portland from Tara Fowle. She's a street photographer. We've featured her on the show before. And she documents the city's horrible homeless and drug crisis. What I saw while I was out there with her in downtown Portland, almost brought me to tears. In this exact, some of the same areas that the governor marched through, you know, Portland is safe and clean and vibrant. I've been covering Seattle's worsening homeless crisis for 15 years. What I saw in Portland was unfathomable. The route that she took for this march, where she wants to try to signal to the nation that Portland's doing just fine, there are more boarded up storefronts than storefronts without boards on them. There are people suffering in filth and squalor. The smell of human feces and urine is so potent, I gagged. Far worse than Seattle. And I think Seattle is bad. But Seattle's homeless crisis situation, drug crisis, if you want to avoid it, you can. It's on a few city blocks that are really bad. You can't avoid it in Portland. And Tara, who I was with, and you're going to hear more from her in our special report tonight, you know, she's down there daily interacting with the homeless. And when I had her meet me at the location where that Governor Kotek photo op was taken, she said, wow, looks cleaner than usual down here. And she said she has no proof, but she really believes that in order to do this march and say Portland's doing just fine, we don't need any help here, that they went in and what did they do? Swept away all the homeless and the drug users, tried to clean up the human feces. But even so, it still looked horrible. It is a ghost town. That's not an exaggeration. We didn't just go to one bad corner here and there. We walked around for an hour and a half. So she wants to act. And again, I know that these are two separate issues, the ICE facility and what's happening in downtown Portland. But the governor, she wants to combine them all in one. We don't need any help from the federal government here. We've got the ICE facility situation under control. They don't. And Portland is beautiful and vibrant. It's not. As with any area, you could go to an actual war zone today. You could go to Ukraine. And you could find a place to take a picture that looks beautiful and pristine and clean. It doesn't make it any less of a war zone. Two blocks down from the siege on the ICE facility is the river. It's beautiful. There are these beautiful willow trees, two blocks down, looking over the river. And I could take a picture of this and say, what is Donald Trump talking about? This is two blocks from the alleged war zone. And the only thing that I can hope is that people aren't so stupid and devoid of any desire to think critically and independently that they'll just believe that. And the other thing is, two things can be true at the same time. There could be areas of Portland that are beautiful and safe and clean. And then there are very clearly areas of Portland that are anything but, that are covered in human feces. And yes, I actually saw piles of human feces. It was highlight of my day. There are areas of Portland where business is thriving and restaurants are thriving. And there are areas of Portland where you would be hard-pressed to find a window that's not covered with plywood. So this all or nothing is not only disingenuous, it's dangerous to paint it as not a problem. And that goes for downtown Portland and the ICE facility. And it's completely unproductive. If we were adults, right? Like, I'm fired up about this because there's real shit happening there. And it's not good. Is it a war zone? No, I don't think Portland's a war zone or war ravaged. But if Trump hadn't used the phrase war ravaged, you think that they would have been, their response would have been any less unhinged? No, because it's orange man bad. If we were all adults, President Trump included, he would pick up the phone. Beep, 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 beep. And he would talk to the governor of Oregon, which they had a conversation, but I think it should have gone something like this. Hey, Governor Kotek, it's President Donald Trump. You know, the situation outside the ICE facility is unacceptable. Our agents are in danger. They've been assaulted. They have to send out riot officers every time they want to get somebody in and out. What can you do to help us with this and bring it to an end? And while we're at it, I know that you guys are having an issue with your homeless crisis and drug crisis and your business climate. We would love to help you with that. you know, can we maybe help each other out? You guys help us out with the ICE facility. Maybe we can send some additional resources your way to be able to help bring downtown Portland back to life. What can we do? But of course, no one's a freaking adult these days. No one wants to fix anything. They want to blame other people so they can score political points while nothing gets fixed. And the same exact thing, as you know, happens in California and is happening here in Washington State. It's the West Coast way. So when President Trump sent out this post over the weekend saying, authorizing the full force of troops to deal with war-ravaged Portland, I think a couple things happened. I think Governor Bob Ferguson and Attorney General Nick Brown and Mayor Bruce Harrell felt left out. Oh my gosh, the attention's on Portland, not on us. We can't have that. So they needed the attention to be on them. And of course, any opportunity to try to distract from their own failures and throw red meat at their base, especially for Bruce Harrell before an election, they're going to take advantage of. So they had a press conference. This is from Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell. They had a press conference yesterday while I was down in Portland. Trump's actions in Portland are distinctly un-American, and we must speak up against this egregious abuse of power. We stand united with the Attorney General and other city leaders with a clear message to President Trump: stay out of Seattle. Here is him kind of reiterating that to the president.
Trump's actions are distinctly un-American. Here in this city, we are united. And we are fortunate here to be so united to make sure that this kind of tyrannical style is not successful here in Seattle or in our state. To not mince words, we do not need the federal government bringing in armored vehicles, semi-automatic weapons, military personnel to make, quote unquote, us safer. There is not an insurrection here. His strategy, and I'm referring to President Trump, his strategy only serves to escalate tensions and continue to breed mistrust. Our message today is very clear. Stay out of Seattle.
Okay, so I don't know where the press conference was with the mayor and the president of the city council and the police chief and the attorney general of the state of Washington when Antifa factions were laying siege on the federal building a couple months ago, night after night, when I was getting assaulted at the ICE facility in Tukwila. I don't know why they didn't come out and have some sort of press conference expressing their concern about real danger unfolding on the streets. But the potential for danger from the Trump administration, of course, that's worthy of getting everyone together, except Governor Bob Ferguson, who you'll notice was absent from that press conference, which we will get to later on in the show. Put a pin in that. So they have to grandstand, right? They have to be seen as being righteous. But we're watching that and thinking, well, have we missed something? Right now, President Trump has said that he's focused on Portland. So did he suggest something, or did he have a conversation with the mayor that we're not aware of that suggests he's sending troops here? A reporter asked the mayor that.
I have not received direct communications on this issue that they're coming here, but I have read many statements in the newspaper about his son calling Seattle and Portland in the same breath a crap hole. They've made direct references to Seattle in different news accounts, but I have not received direct communication from them on their plans.
Ah, that's all it takes to get a big old press conference together, is the president's son in some news quotes called Seattle and Portland crap holes. And so now we're going to get up and we're going to fearmonger and scare residents into believing that we're on the cusp of a military takeover in the city of Seattle by the Trump administration. And in there, he says, oh, we're going to, you know, they're just worsening things. They're making things worse. They're aggravating people. Right after they had that press conference suggesting without any cause that Trump might send people here, what do you think freaking happened? Well, then people went down to the ICE facility. They went to start to protest. So isn't it really you that's aggravating things by taking something that President Trump's son said and making people believe that Donald Trump is about to send troops here, even though we haven't had an ongoing situation outside the federal building or the ICE facility in a couple months? Now, certainly, I think that the conversation could have been had a couple months ago while all of this was active and ongoing about whether the Trump administration should do something extra here. But they just are desperate for attention. And it's not just Mayor Bruce Harrell. Of course, Attorney General Nick Brown, who's filed more lawsuits in 8 months against the Trump administration than even Bobby Ferguson did in his 4 years during the first term, he had to get up and grandstand.
I think first and foremost, there is no force in American politics that is more reckless and destructive than the current president of the United States.
I beg to differ.
And I think the escalation that we are seeing in Portland following what happened in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., that escalation is part of a bigger strategy to continue to push the United States Constitution to the brink until it is rewritten in President Trump's image. We've all known this for a long time, and we have seen the signs from day one of this administration that he continues to advance the cause of authoritarianism, that he continues to expand his own executive power, and that he continues to target those that he does not like and those that he views as his political opponents.
So hard to watch. God, he thinks he's a hero. He has the worst main character syndrome of anyone I've ever met. Oh my gosh, it's the Nick Brown show. Oh, and he's got his eyes on maybe Patty Murray's U.S. Senate seat or the governorship. God, you should see the stuff his staff posts on Instagram. Slow motion videos of him walking to cool music down a hallway. It's narcissism. But he says there's no more destructive force in American politics than President Donald Trump. There is a more destructive force in American politics. It's one party rule. And it is what allows a group of absolute asshats like them to stand up with no knowledge whatsoever and send an entire populace into a mental tailspin over the possibility that President Donald Trump is going to send the military here. And, you know, I'll play one more from Harold, because this one, it's too good to avoid. What's the problem? What is his biggest gripe with President Donald Trump? Well, Mayor Harold says he's just not patriotic enough.
Continue to be patriotic. I believe in a better country. I just wish that our president understood this and believed in it as well.
Look, do you believe in a better city? Because you have so much to do at home. And you all know why they're doing this. They're doing it because it works with the voters. And it works with the voters because it works with the media. And the media holds them up there in these stories as this righteous pushback against an authoritarian, against the second coming of Hitler. And so the media plays their role, the politicians play their role, the media plays their role, and then the voters are none the wiser. Ultimately, it really is the media's fault. You know, there's this secondary element of that. It's very similar to what's happening in Portland. You know, you can have nuance is the enemy of the media and the political class. Nuance doesn't raise money. Nuance doesn't win elections. Nobody wants someone who's nuanced because it's not sexy. It's not interesting. They want you in one camp or the other. But I'm sorry, reality is nuanced. It would be perfectly fine for Portland's mayor to say, hey, yeah, this ICE facility thing's out of control. We got to do a better job of making sure that that area of the city, it's only a block, is safe. And so we're going to do that so that we don't have the federal government come here. And yes, we have a lot of issues in downtown Portland, and we need to do better in that regard. But there's no role for the federal government to act in some sort of law enforcement capacity downtown. Because you guys know, I believe that too. I do not want the federal government, specifically troops, be they National Guard or active duty military, being used in a law enforcement capacity in American cities without cooperation and coordination with those cities and leadership. D.C. was different because there's different laws that govern that in D.C. where the president can usurp the police force there. As bad as I think Portland and Seattle are, as much as I think they could benefit from armed members of the military on every corner, that's not the United States. That's not the American way. And voters of Seattle and Portland overwhelmingly don't want it. And if they don't want it, well, then they don't get it, even if it might be beneficial to them. And there's a second element where Trump is coming out, and he did mention Seattle in the sense that not about, you know, bringing military force there. But as you know, this time next year, Seattle has the World Cup, and that's a big deal. But we haven't seen any progress in making Seattle a city that's worthy of the World Cup. I mean, it looks horrible downtown, although now I do acknowledge that Portland is far worse. And so maybe that'll give me some perspective. But the fact that Portland is far worse than Seattle just shows how messed up the whole West Coast is. And President Trump said, look, maybe Seattle and other cities that are having a problem ahead of the World Cup is not the picture that we want to show the world.
No, if any city we think is going to be even a little bit dangerous for the World Cup or for the Olympics, you know, where they have Olympic overthrow, right? But for the World Cup in particular, because they're playing in so many cities, we won't allow it to go. We'll move it around a little bit. But I hope that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't either. Why? Because I care about the businesses. Seattle is the economic engine of the state. We're talking billions of dollars in potential revenue at a time when our state and our businesses, big and small, desperately need it. They have tomorrow starting $9 to $12 billion in new taxes and fees. I don't want to take the World Cup away from them. But the response to what the president said there, which has a lot of merit, right? We don't want people coming from around the world and getting stabbed by some crackhead on 3rd and Pine. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, more gaslighting. This is absolutely ridiculous. Seattle is a beautiful city and will be a fantastic host for the World Cup. Seattle was a beautiful city. Its bones are beautiful. The nature is beautiful. The things that you as politicians haven't destroyed yet, like the very existence of the mountains and the oceans, which hopefully you never get enough power to be able to destroy those too, or I'm sure you would. Although our oceans are filled with like fentanyl runoff, so maybe you did ruin those a little bit. But that's just disingenuous. She could have said, look, because she's the congresswoman that represents the Seattle area. Hey, we're working hard to try to improve the city and make sure it is a safe and welcoming place and fix some of the issues ahead of the World Cup, but we don't need the president's help and we look forward to hosting the World Cup. Or we welcome the president's help because it is, you know, something for the country. So certainly there should be some help from the federal government to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, but it shouldn't be just because of the World Cup. Why do they always do this? And why do voters let them get away with it? Where they'll clean up right before some major event. The All-Star Game. Oh, got to sweep those tents away. Let's move them down about a mile, and then they just move back in. Every time there's some sort of major event, you go down clean and pristine. And then 2 weeks later, it's back to where it is. Back to where it was. So, like, we don't have to lie. All these things can be true at the same time. Hey, President Trump, not cool to hang the World Cup over our head. We're working really hard to get things back on track. We hope to be in a much better place in 6 months. Let us know how you can help us get there. Is that really so hard? This is why I'm not cut out to be a politician. Like, no one would like me. Because again, nuance is the enemy of the media and politicians. You don't win with nuance. You don't get anywhere with nuance. And I'm sure there are people on this feed who think I, you know, am wrong for saying President Donald Trump is being hyperbolic when he calls Portland war ravaged. The biggest war being fought in Portland is not down by the ICE facility. The biggest war being waged in Portland is a war on humanity that's playing out in downtown Portland that the city of Portland is most decidedly losing. So we could fix things. They're within their power to fix and to solve, but they would rather quite literally act as if problems don't exist. They are a figment of your imagination. It doesn't matter how much video I show you. It doesn't matter what I go down and see with my own eyes. It's a figment of your imagination, and I'm lying to you about every little bit of it. Wild. What is wrong with the West Coast? But I think you'll enjoy our special report tonight, 48 hours in Portland, where I'll take you on the ground outside the ICE facility. Play more of maybe me getting yelled at by people in cat costumes and chicks with their boobs out. Not the kind of boobs you want to see, trust me. And of course, a lot of conflicts and clashes. I also have a lot to talk about with Antifa. I think I'll save it for the show tomorrow because we have so much other stuff to get to. But I really think even before President Trump deploys National Guard troops, I think he has very effectively neutered Antifa in Portland. So I'll save that for tomorrow. There's a lot that I saw that has suggested, that suggests to me that Antifa is very worried about the terror designation and isn't maybe doing what they were doing even a couple weeks ago or a month ago. So again, 48 hours in Portland will be out across all platforms tonight, 10 p.m. Pacific time. There's a lot of cursing. So you know what? We're pushing that one late. Or maybe it's because I got in the early hours of the morning and have only slept a couple hours and we need a little more time to put the finishing touches on it. So 48 hours in Portland. All right, coming up next, I mentioned Bob Ferguson, because he's not going to miss that press conference, right? Bob Ferguson miss a press conference where they're bashing Donald Trump? He's not going to miss it, so why wasn't he there? Very good question indeed. We'll discuss. First, our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital is having another one of his free live webinars. It's coming up in what? 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, October 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. So it's this Thursday. You can still register totally free. And this is going to be a back to basics live webinar. So there's a lot happening globally, trade deals, uncertainty around AI. If you're just like, oh my God, I need to get back to basics. I need to understand what's going on with my retirement portfolio. This is the live webinar for you. It's going to be a frank discussion on the basic fundamentals of value investing, a perspective on the outlook for the remainder of 2025, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So you can hear directly from Zach Abraham. Ask him questions, get answers as he shares insights in this free Back to Basics webinar. October 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Register now for free. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. Where in the world is Bob Ferguson? I actually don't know if I can answer that question. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Get involved. It's not enough just to watch this show, although that is a good way to be involved. But there are tons of opportunities to get out there in your community and really make a difference. So sign up for their newsletter, future42.org. So Bob Ferguson, when he came into office, you'll recall that he preached transparency. Oh, we're going to get back to being transparent. He even hired... Didn't he get Jesse? He hired Jesse Jones, like the infamous consumer watchdog reporter in Seattle. Famous. I wouldn't even say infamous. People were scared of him, though, because he would actually go in there, ask the hard questions, get to the bottom of things. There's not a lot of that reporting happening anymore on TV in Seattle. But he was great at it. And he was getting towards the end of his career. And so Bob Ferguson snatched him up and said he was going to put him in charge of Results Washington, which is the webpage that's supposed to sort of track, you know, what the outcomes are for your money that you're giving to the state government in record numbers. So I was like, okay, great. You know, maybe he'll be more transparent than he was as attorney general. The issue of transparency is very important to me. You'll know that I fight for it no matter who it is, the records issues and all of that. But Bob Ferguson just seems to be nowhere to be found. This is from the Center Square. Where in the world is Governor Ferguson? On vacation, and then a conference, and then at meetings. They write, on Friday, Center Square received multiple messages from various sources showing a screenshot of an Office of the Governor alert. It said, Governor Bob Ferguson will be traveling outside Washington from Thursday, September 25th through Thursday, October 9th. Whenever the governor travels out of state per state law, the lieutenant governor serves as acting governor of Washington. The alert said Denny Heck is the lieutenant governor, and he will be taking over for Bob Ferguson while he's gone here through October 9th. And the Center Square points out that the alert was not available on the governor's official website on Friday. So internally, they were notified the governor was going to be gone for a couple weeks. And look, this happens. I mean, Jay Inslee used to travel the world on his first climate agenda and running for president. But Governor Inslee always made his calendar public, as have governors before him. It would talk about where he was going to be, how long he was going to be gone. People would get plenty of notice. It wouldn't just be a poof, where's Bob Ferguson? And have the media outlets having to proactively track the governor down. Now, you'll remember... let me just finish this. It says, following multiple email inquiries, Ferguson's communications director, Brian Aho, finally responded. The governor's on vacation through next week, and then he'll be at a conference and meetings on the East Coast. He's in daily contact with the office. So now you have a situation where the media, where they used to just be able to say, hey, can I see the governor's calendar, have to send multiple emails to try to figure out where the governor is. Because people in state government were getting this notice he was going to be gone. It wasn't made public, and it's very unusual. And it's not the only thing he's doing in this regard that's unusual. Remember a couple weeks ago, actually, I think this is late August, the Washington State Standard, which is, I would say, a liberal publication. I know they don't call themselves that, but they definitely skew left, and they have given very favorable coverage of Bob Ferguson. Well, they were frustrated enough with him not being transparent about his schedule, that they started a new column called simply, Where's Governor Bob Ferguson? Where they would do their best to try to track down where the governor of the state was. In it, they wrote in their first edition, with most jobs, you have to give your boss an idea of where you are and what you'll be doing during the workday. Governor Bob Ferguson, who works for the people of Washington State, has not been doing this consistently during his first 7 months in office. Ferguson has mostly abandoned the practice of sending out advisories. The rare calendar updates that do go out are typically incomplete and sometimes arrive after the fact. They went on to write, the handful of public appearances Ferguson has given notice about since the legislative session wrapped up and its subsequent flurry of bill signings have often focused on criticizing the president or congressional Republicans, but the governor's responsibilities extend beyond reacting to federal policy. So here you have a left-leaning news publication that pointed out it's highly unusual for us to not know where the governor is. He works for us after all. When he sends out advisories, sometimes they come after the event has already taken place. And when he does get one out on time, you can bet it's probably about Donald Trump. Because that is genuinely the only thing that seems to matter to him. And what was the last thing he did before leaving? So remember, the out of office is September 25th through October 9th. What is the last thing you think he did? Give me one guess. Last thing you think he did before he left on this mystery hiatus? Oh, he held a round table with all the state leaders talking about what? Of course, Donald Trump. That's all he talks about. That's all he does. He says this week, and I don't even think this was on September 25th. I think he was gone by then. It was a couple days earlier. I gathered all 9 statewide elected officials. We're working together to protect Washingtonians from the Trump administration and continue to move our state forward. At our meeting, we discussed ongoing litigation efforts from AG Nick Brown, a new report showing the devastation of Trump's tariffs for Washington state families, protecting Washingtonians' data from overreach by the federal government. All of your statewide elected officials are working very hard to be extremely coordinated in dealing with what's coming at us from Washington, D.C. Well, they might be working extremely hard, but after he posted this, he's out of the state, somewhere on the East Coast in meetings. What do you want to bet he's having meetings about President Donald Trump? And look, you want to throw in a couple things about Trump here and there, fine. But it seems to be the singular focus of every Democrat in any position of power at the state level and the local level. It's an obsession. And until you have some semblance, and that's why I gave the Washington State Standard credit, at least they called him out not only on hiding his whereabouts, but on obsessively focusing on federal policy when he's the governor of a state and when there are so many pressing issues the state is dealing with. I knew Bob Ferguson was going to be more of kind of the same for Washington. I mean, obviously we've had a governor in or a Democrat in the governor's office for 40 years. We had 12 years of Jay Inslee, and Bob Ferguson was just sort of the heir apparent that Democrats pushed in. But I'll give it to Jay Inslee. He was at least transparent. He didn't use executive privilege to hide public records like so many other Democrats in Olympia do, which I gave him credit for. If you wanted his calendar, you could get it. I remember when I was a news reporter still and I was covering his presidential campaign. To their credit, they made sure that as soon as I wanted it, I had a full calendar of when he would be campaigning, when he would be in the state, and we could track him and see what he was doing and report on it to the public, which was our job. But Bob Ferguson, for some reason, either is so emboldened because, you know, in this state, he can keep that job as long as he wants, that he doesn't feel the need to, or he's trying to hide what he's doing for some sort of reason. So is it nefarious, or is it just that he's so drunk on power, he doesn't believe he's accountable to you anymore? Either one's not particularly good. All right, this segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. And we are going to keep rolling in our segment Unbelievable in just a moment. First, this really is one of the best times of the year to sell your home. There's this post-Labor Day boost that lasts usually through October. And then, of course, in the winter months, less popular time to sell your home. But if you're interested or thinking about, you know, what does the market look like, get an analysis from our friend Wes Jones. He can take you through what your home value looks like right now, how homes in your neighborhood and in your area have been doing, talk about how long it might take to sell your home, what he thinks it might take to make sure you get top dollar. Wes has been doing this for a long time. He's been through all the market ups and downs over the decades, and he's survived in this business for a reason. He's very, very good at what he does. And he, one of the biggest points of feedback I get from our viewers and listeners who use Wes to sell their home is he's very communicative. He's always making sure that you're in the loop every step of the way, because he knows that this is one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life, is sell your home, especially, for instance, if you're close to retirement, that's your nest egg. So reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right. I've been very critical of old Bob and Nick Brown today. So maybe I'll start my unbelievable segment with a compliment for our beloved Attorney General. Short-lived compliment. Short-lived. So while I was gone over the weekend, a story we'd been tracking on the show last week has only gotten worse and worse and worse. And that is, of course, the attacks and the harassment of lawful signature gatherers who are out there right now in our communities trying to run two initiatives, one to ban boys from girls' sports and the other to restore parental rights so parents know what's happening with their kids at school. Neither of them is controversial. Neither of them is right-wing or bigoted or extreme. These are very reasonable initiatives. And so I had a couple stories on the Thursday show about, like, the left-wing activists are out in force, absolutely unhinged. And we're going to go through all of the instances, the major ones that we know about so far, some new ones that have popped up over the weekend. But Attorney General Nick Brown actually said something about this, which I have a theory about why, but I do want to give him credit. He posted on X, "People have the right to advocate for their beliefs without fear of violence. What happened in Tacoma is unacceptable." We'll get to more of that in a moment. "And we will do everything we can to assist local authorities in enforcing any violations of the law. We must do everything we can to protect the democratic process." That's great. It wasn't even couched in, "I know these initiatives are hateful, however." And so that's wonderful. But you know why he did it? I just talked about it in the show a couple minutes ago. The media matters. It's why I'm so hard on the press. We've been railing about this for days. Nick Brown knew about this last week. He knew this was going on. Why did he wait to say something about it? King 5 News did a story. Right after King 5 News did a story, and credit to King 5. They did a story. They talked to Brian Haywood of Let's Go Washington. They talked about these instances and the just fear and harassment facing these signature gatherers. So when a left-leaning TV station that has a lot of progressive viewers does a story about it, all of a sudden it is safe for Nick Brown to come out and condemn something that should have been very easy to condemn the second that it was going on, because it's not a surprise either. This was happening to signature gatherers, as you know, in 2023 as well. But it shows you that is the importance of the media and a healthy media ecosystem is, hey, we're holding people accountable and now we're making people aware of what's going on. And that forces the hand of politicians like Nick Brown. I don't think he would have put that statement out if not for King 5 News. So I want to tick through some things that happened over the weekend and some updates on some other instances, because it's important that you guys know what's going on. So this I was getting a flurry of messages about. It was a post from the Snohomish Police Department. And what day did this? Was it 2 days ago, I think? I can't remember the exact day that this came out. A couple days ago. So they posted on Facebook, the Snohomish Police Department is aware of the signature gatherers that are in front of one of our local stores. We have no legal authority to remove them at this time. Store management has been made aware of the legal process required to have them removed from the premises should they choose to do so. 911 calls are not necessary. We will take action if and when we are requested and can legally do so. Holy smokes, you guys. The lefties are so unhinged about these initiatives, they're calling 911. Can you imagine being so brainwashed and ideologically extreme that you see signature gatherers collecting signatures to, like, protect girls' sports or restore parental rights? And your reaction is to pick up your phone and dial 911. I saw that and I was just, I mean, I knew they were crazy, right? But this is, it goes hand in hand with that. Words are violence. They actually think words are violence. And to them, someone there saying, hey, boys shouldn't compete against girls is an act of violence that they thought worthy of calling 911. Now, initially, when I saw that post, I was actually upset at the Snohomish Police Department because I thought that it was giving these crazies kind of too much credibility. And it almost sounded in the post, the way that it was worded, like they wanted the signature. They wanted to help the stores remove signature gatherers or something. So Nicole, of course, before we jumped on the police department, reached out. And I believe that they're a contract city, Snohomish Police Department or something. But she decided to reach out directly to the chief of police in Snohomish, which I'm glad she did because he actually wrote that post. And so here's what he told us. Because we asked what prompted this post, and he said he actually wrote it. He said the store wanted us to remove signature gatherers, and we said no. So they proceeded to tell anyone that complained that we were refusing to do anything about it. My intent with the post was to hopefully stop so many 911 calls from coming in. I was personally handling those complaints myself yesterday. It's a small town. Was screamed at numerous times for refusing to remove them. And I can assure you, we have no desire to remove any signature gatherers. That from Chief Nathan Alanis with the Snohomish City of Snohomish Police Department, which is crazy. So they're calling 911. He says numerous, and they're screaming at him for not removing signature gatherers who are engaged in a lawful process for something they just disagree with. Can you ever imagine? I know there are unhinged people on the right too, but can you ever imagine, think of any conservative you know on the planet that would dial 911 because someone was collecting signatures for an initiative, like let's say a gun control initiative. Is there any conservative on the planet you know who would pick up a phone and dial 911 and ask the police to remove them? Not a chance in hell. It is, I was telling people on social media, touch some grass, see a therapist. Book an additional appointment with your therapist if you're calling 911 over signature gatherers. And so that is just wild. But there's actually been some really dangerous, violent incidents that have happened that we want to follow up on. So I believe that I can't remember if we covered it on the Thursday show or it didn't. It happened after that. Oh, Thursday night in Tacoma. So a woman's out there gathering signatures. And I also feel compelled to say, not that race matters, but the left, they're so obsessed with it. The woman collecting signatures is Black, okay? I just feel the need to say that. And the people who were out there harassing her were, guess what skin color? Oh, they were white women, yes. They were white women, okay? So there are a couple of things that happened, and this is terrifying. Someone could have died. So it's at the Tacoma, Fred Meyer, and Tacoma Police Department says this is what went down. So September 25th, 7 p.m., Tacoma Police responded to the store for a hit and run and a theft. So officers learned that a suspect had taken a page of signatures and while fleeing, struck a vehicle in the parking lot. While taking these reports, the officer observed a different individual damaging documents belonging to that signature gatherer. The suspect was taken into custody without incident and booked into the Pierce County Jail for malicious mischief in the third degree. So just so you understand what happened there. Signature gatherer, again, Black woman, it's going to become important in a moment. She's outside collecting signatures. Someone who was described to us as a young white woman runs up, grabs one of the pages of signatures, jumps back into her car, and in her haste to flee, hits another car. It's a parking lot. So there's always going to be people walking around. That's why you're supposed to go slow in a parking lot. Could have hit someone and killed someone. So cops come. As the cop is standing there, taking the report about the theft and the hit and run, another wackadoo with the cop standing there, feet away, decides to clear off the signature gathering table into a garbage can. And the cop's like, hey, I saw that. And so all of a sudden, now this second woman finds herself in trouble. And the signature gatherer, thank God, decided to record some of this. Here's part of the encounter with the offender.
So this bigot here is...
I am not a bigot.
She said, our people, the alphabet mafia is ruining and running the world. Sweetheart, are we running the world? Is that what's happening?
Nicole, we'll start it over. I feel like I need to set this up better. So the signature gatherer pulls out the phone to record, and now police are involved, right? Signature gatherer pulls out the phone to record. Well, that woman, the police said, you wait here. The woman with the rainbow fanny pack who you see in the video, that's the woman who pushed everything into the garbage can. the woman whose voice you hear is the signature gatherer. So she's recording the encounter. The police officer is behind her getting something from his car. And then, of course, the woke white woman decides to pull out her phone and, oh, no, I'm going to record you because you're a bigot. I'm not the one who did something wrong because you're a bigot. Okay, let's watch it again.
So this bigot here is...
I am not a bigot.
She said...
The white woman calls the black woman a bigot.
The alphabet mafia is ruining and running the world. Sweetheart, are we running the world? Is that what's happening? Is that because that's what you said. Really?
You think you are?
You said we're running the world? If we were, this wouldn't be happening. Cruelty wouldn't be happening. What about the children who want to play sports, dude? What about the trans kids that just want to play sports? What about them? Do they not matter? It matters if they're kids that you think matter.
Do you have kids?
No.
Why not?
No, I raise other people's kids.
You hear that? What about the kids? They just want to play sports. Some other person, a passerby, says, do you have kids? And she goes, no, I raise other people's kids, which makes me worried that she's a teacher. We're trying to get her identity and rundown information. We're in contact. Tacoma police are making us go through a public records request for it, which is a little unusual in my opinion, but we're tracking it down. So here she has these strong opinions. You black woman are a bigot. I'm righteous. You're hateful. What about the kids? Do you have kids? No, it's really too good. It's too good. She goes on and I posted on social media after this happened. Hey, if you were waiting for your Instacart delivery from Tacoma Fred Meyer, you're probably not going to get it because this woman was in the Fred Meyer before this interaction, working, picking up Instacart deliveries.
You didn't get your meds today? I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
I don't need to be. You should be. You're getting groceries. And you come out and destroy my property.
Right now.
So what you doing, Instacart? Same stuff I do. You got no respect. I do that.
You don't have to.
And look at you.
I'm sorry that I touched your stuff. I genuinely thought that you were gone because I didn't see you coming in. And I was going to throw that away.
Come on, let's be truthful now.
That is the honest to God.
No, stand on your truth. Stand on your truth.
I am speaking the truth.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Over 5,000 followers, and I'm going to make you famous.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's what they need.
Everybody knows me.
5,000 followers, buddy?
Good. That's good.
This is too much.
In Tacoma, we need to broadcast you guys because you're not right. Nobody said that you shouldn't play sports. You guys want people to...
What is this?
You should ask what it is before you destroy it.
Tell me what it is.
You know?
I'll make a new one. Can you tell me
what
that is?
No, but it's just not right how you treat people.
It's not...
You want people to be open-minded to your community, but you're not ready to have a conversation about being open-minded? Come on now. That's not right. It's not right, lady.
Not a word.
Well, whatever you are, respect to your gender, but you can't do people like this.
I love that signature gatherer so much. And she's right. You guys want tolerance and all of this, but you're not being tolerant. Now, despite the efforts from this woman to apologize and offer to make her a new one, I don't know if it was a poster or something she destroyed, it was too late. The officer was having none of it, and he did place her under arrest.
You see, that's karma. You never know who you're messing with. How they rank in the spirit, see? Because we under spiritual warfare, lady.
Right.
Nope, he's not joking. No.
Love this cop.
Here we go.
Love this cop.
You're under arrest.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Where he go? He ain't. I wish he could take that. No, it's not. You're insane. You can't do things like that, ma'am. You're under arrest. See? Mm. Tell your people. They can't do that. You're going to jail. Yep, you're going to jail.
The reason why you're under arrest is for destroying that person's
property. Love this cop.
When you go over here, I'll grab your stuff. Don't worry. No one's going to touch your phone.
Please, my jacket. Please.
No one is going to touch this. Okay?
No.
All right. Let's go this way.
When F.A. meets F.O. Now, look, I'm laughing because it's... inarguably hilarious situation with what she looks like and just the whole back and forth conversation.
The fanny pack.
Yeah, the fanny pack. If I had to like draw in my mind and you told me this is what happened, that's who I would have drawn. That's exactly everything about it. Hair, fanny pack, everything. But I love this officer because he takes her back to the car and she's just losing it. I mean, she's in tears and he's like, I watched you do this. You did it even though I was standing right here. And it's such a good point. So she was sent to jail for malicious mischief in the third degree. We are waiting to get more information on whether they have a suspect in the hit and run that brought police there in the first place. And of course, we're going to try to figure out if they have any connections to any sort of groups. But we do know that there's a pretty consistent theme here with these people who harass, intimidate, tear up the initiatives. And so much so that it's not something that's just happening naturally. It's not just that there's that many kind of cuckoo leftists who can't even see anyone who disagrees with them out in public. It's obviously organized. And we're seeing this happen in a couple ways, on social media and then in a more formal way. And it's important to understand that. So, of course, there have been a ton of Reddit posts. A lot of them coming from people who at least claim to be educators, which is highly concerning to me. So, for instance, this is some instructions being given on Reddit to what activists should do when they encounter one of these signature gatherers. And no doubt, they want them to go out and find these signature gatherers to do this. It says, ask the signature gatherer why he's obsessing about what's in children's underwear. Ask him why what bathroom a child uses is of such intense interest for him that he's out here bothering other people to join his predilection. Ask loudly so others can hear. Maybe someone can get a video and post it. Remember, if they have a right to harass others, then others have a right to harass them back. Except you believe that someone out there collecting signatures is harassment when it's not. But what you're doing is absolutely harassment. And they suggested telling the signature gatherers, you're the ones trying to cut their genitals off. Think of the other normal kids in the bathroom. Or those are quotes that they're saying that they'll say in response. Unfortunately, these somethings don't exactly shake in their boots when you ask them those questions. They obsess over justifying it, not that it's worth harassing them still. Says, oh, well, get them on video justifying strip searching school children. So they're basically sending out directions on Reddit as to what you should do. But it's more nefarious than that. Some of the largest, most influential political entities in the state of Washington are not only encouraging this harassment, they're backing it financially. So there is a group called WA Families for Freedom. WA Families for Freedom. It's not what you think it is. So this is the Decline to Sign effort. And they're painting this as it's hateful and it's the antithesis of freedom to keep boys out of girls' sports. It says this initiative pushed by extremist political groups would invade the privacy of all students and prevent transgender students from playing sports with their friends. While some claim it would only stop transgender girls from playing on girls' sports teams, the measure would even require all students to go through invasive physical and genetic exams or testing to prove their gender. That's a lie. No, it wouldn't. They go on to say discrimination that excludes one group is always wrong. We believe all students deserve dignity and privacy. The extremists pushing this initiative believe kids should be forced to undergo medical exams simply to play with friends. No, we don't. And you already have to undergo a physical from a doctor to participate in athletics in Washington public schools. So it's a doctor who's already doing a physical exam who is going to have to attest on a form that WIAA already has to your biological gender, which they already require them to do. So this is hateful fear-mongering, but it says it has a button where you can report signature gatherers. But I want to bring your attention to the top five contributors to this pack. Not going to surprise you. The Washington Education Association. The Gender Justice League. Can you go back one, Nicole? No. Washington Education Association. They both say it. The Gender Justice League. Pro-Choice Washington. ACLU of Washington. First of all, ACLU, Civil Liberties Union, and they supported the harassment of signature gatherers back in 2023. So they're supporting financially efforts to go out and harass people who are engaged in the democratic process. The ACLU is the most disgusting one, and it shows what the ACLU has become. But the Washington Education Association, they're taking dues paid by teachers to encourage the harassment of signature gatherers, which the Attorney General of our state says is wrong. Guess who the Washington Education Association supported financially in his bid for Attorney General, Nick Brown. So if he really thinks it's wrong, then he better get on the phone to his cronies at the Washington Education Association and tell them to stop supporting the harassment of signature gatherers. But of course he won't do that because that's his cash cow. So it goes on to say, I think this is about the other initiative, right? So the other initiative is about restoring parental rights. It says a repeal of the Safety Act. So remember, we passed parental rights. They upended it and said, oh, you're creating a dangerous environment for kids at school by telling parents what a child's gender is. So this is how they're characterizing it. The Safety Act, passed by the Washington State Legislature, provided vital protections for students, teachers, and parents. No, it didn't. A repeal of the Safety Act would roll back a key student privacy law, but schools in jeopardy of costly lawsuits and make schools release sensitive information like counseling notes and health records without students' permission to their parents. They make it sound like they're going to put out a kid's health records to the general public. It says it would strip homeless students, undocumented students, and disabled students of non-discrimination protections, making our schools less fair. Blah, blah, blah. And then it has another link to report signature gathering. Which, of course, what happens? The Washington State Democratic Party did this in 2023. They had a snitch line to report signature gatherers. Immediately after that snitch line went live, more signature gatherers started enduring harassment because this is coordinated. It's not just some weird Redditors. It's the most powerful entities in the state. The Education Association, which if you have not canceled if you are a teacher, you do not have to be a member of the WEA. You are not legally bound to do so. This is the stuff your money is going to. Drop your union membership today, not tomorrow, today, if you are a sane teacher. This is nonsense. So, of course, the harassment has just been outrageous. And I'm going to go through a couple more of these because I think it's important. And I want to put these people's pictures online, frankly. Let's see. This guy pretended he was going to sign a petition at a Trader Joe's in Spokane. This is one of their common tactics. Look how proud he is of himself. Look what I did. Grabbed the pen and then scribbled a big X through the whole page, then walked off. So proud of himself. Look at him. I am just the best thing since sliced bread. I am so woke. Look at me. And then there was this crazy one. You bleep the swear words, right? So which is this the... Well, let me just see. Sorry, Nicole pulled this. I'm not sure what it is. But in Spokane at a Walmart, I believe, there was a signature gatherer, a man. A woman and her two kids had approached that guy to try to sign or inquire about signing. And this woman comes up out of nowhere threatening to punch the mom in the face in front of her kids and calling the guy a pedophile. It was wild.
I am not a nonviolent person. I'll slap you in front of your kids because I don't care. When you're signing petitions, talking about girls only, girl sports, no one gives a fuck about me. Jesus, get the fuck out of my face before I slap you. Okay. And why is this dude fucking out there? And why would this basic white bitch be signing something about girls, little girls, with this gross dude? No.
So she's so proud, she goes on TikTok and creates these videos explaining what she did, and she filmed herself doing it, telling this woman with little kids, and you heard the woman, all the woman wanted is for her not to film her kids. But she's like, get out of my face or I'll punch you in front of her children. And then she went online and bragged about it, saying she'll punch you if you're signing one of these initiatives. Anyways, the stories go on and on. We could do a dozen more, but you get the point. We are working on maybe some sort of event to try to get people together to show solidarity in going out and collecting these signatures, because I know it can obviously be a scary thing. And we are going to work to hold the organizations accountable who are pushing for the harassment of signature gatherers. And now we have allegedly the Attorney General on our side. So look at that. All right, we'll get to a little bit of national news coming up next. First, our friends at First Mark Insurance are the call you need to make if you and your family are looking to save a little bit of money. We all need insurance. And look, you can't cheap out on insurance. You have to have the right insurance, and you have to have the insurance that's going to cover your needs in the event the unthinkable or unimaginable happens. So First Mark Insurance, the way the First Mark Challenge works is this. You give them a call, you schedule time. It's about an hour. They'll go through your current insurance, talk to you about your insurance needs. Then they'll go out, they'll shop the market for you, and they'll come back with their recommendations. And they might say, hey, we can get you much better insurance at a better price. They might say the insurance you got is great, you don't need us at all. But either way, you'll come out more informed. And like many Undivided viewers and listeners, you'll probably come out on the back end saving some money. I know that we hear stories all the time of people who are saving thousands of dollars a year. And they're like, Brandy, I just should have done that the first time you told me to do it. I know I'm always right, okay? Always right. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. All right, I had to talk about this story out of Des Moines, Iowa, mostly because I used to drive through there all the time on my way to college and back home. It shows the brain rot, okay? So you've probably heard this by now. ICE arrested the superintendent of the Des Moines Public School District. And obviously, since ICE arrested him, he had a deportation order. He was a criminal illegal alien serving as Des Moines Public School superintendent with a prior weapons charge. And when they tried to arrest him, he fled, evaded arrest, abandoned his vehicle in a wooded area, and had a loaded handgun. Okay? This is the superintendent of the largest school district in the state of Iowa. And we've heard these stories before. I mean, what happened? You know, whenever these stories come out, we had one here with the Kent, I think it was, or was it Kent? No, it wasn't Kent. It was Bothell. Bothell theater teacher who, oh my gosh, ICE arrested our beloved theater instructor. We have no idea why. And then it came out that he was wanted for theft back in his home country, came here on a tourist visa, decided to overstay his visa, and just got a job in a local school. So, of course, before any of the facts are known, before anyone bothers to look into the facts about this guy, what are the Democrats in the school district in Des Moines doing? Oh, my God, taking to the streets. ICE has gone too far. They've arrested our beloved superintendent, only to find out, like, dude had a weapons charge. He was in the country illegally. He had an order of deportation. He fled arrest, ditched his car in the woods, and had a loaded gun on him that he shouldn't have been able to own. So it's like, by the time the facts are known, they've already committed, right? They've already committed to defending him. So it's like, you can't even walk it back. And it just shows how unhinged that sort of mind rot is that, like we talked about it earlier with, you can't use nuance. You can't be like, probably shouldn't have been working as the superintendent of public schools. He also had this interesting background, before we get to more information on this from ICE, he also had this interesting background. He's had multiple lawsuits that he's gotten payouts on for racial discrimination. So this guy's in the country illegally, getting all these jobs because of DEI. And then when he loses those jobs, he blames racial discrimination, sues, and gets taxpayer money as someone in the country illegally. And then even after those claims of, oh, I'm being discriminated against on the basis of race, gets the top job at the largest school district in Iowa. And they're still defending him when he's clearly just like a con artist and a criminal. So ICE said today, this is their narrative on it. ICE Des Moines arrested Ian Andre Roberts, a criminal illegal alien from Guyana. Is that how you say that? I don't know. Guyana. God, somebody's going to be like, Brandy, you're a moron. In possession of a loaded handgun, $3,000 in cash, and a fixed blade hunting knife. At the time of his arrest, Roberts was working as the superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools despite being an illegal alien with a final order of removal and no work authorization. How did he get this job? No work authorization, final order of removal, in the country illegally, previous weapons charge. Roberts has existing weapons possession charges from February of 2020. He entered the United States in 1999 on a student visa, was given a final order of removal by an immigration judge in May of 2024. Why is that significant? May of 2024. Biden administration gave this guy a final order of deportation. And they said that his appeals had, they would not appeal it anymore. Would not reconsider. So not only were the Democrats angry about, oh my gosh, you arrested our poor, you know, superintendent. So they're mad without knowing any of the facts. And then it turns out his deportation order was from Biden, not Trump. So, I mean, what are you going to be mad about now? Of course, they find reasons to be mad anyway. The head of the St. Paul field office for ICE said this should be a wake-up call for our communities to the great work that our officers are doing every day to remove public safety threats. How this illegal alien was hired without work authorization, a final order of removal, and a prior weapons charge is beyond comprehension and should alarm the parents of that school district. And don't get me wrong, there are absolutely Iowa, I mean, Des Moines is, but Iowa is not a blue state. There are, goes back, yeah, there are a lot of parents who are concerned about it. But the initial reaction to be something must be wrong here, ICE must be wrong, is sort of just how things have been going. It's like the assumption automatically is ICE did something wrong. Not like, hey, we've had enough of these stories. We should probably wait for the facts to come in before we just assume that ICE arrested someone wrongfully. All right, we'll get to our Daily Show poll and some subscriber comments coming up next. First, a reminder to join me at the Engage Conference. It's coming up really really quickly, October 22nd and 23rd at Meydenbauer Center in Bellevue. I'll be talking with my friend Jonathan Cho about housing policy in the state of Washington. So I think it'll be really fun and engaging and interesting. And if you're just interested generally in housing policy, everything from homelessness to landlord-tenant laws, Engage is a great conference for you. It's put on by our friends at the Rental Housing Association of Washington, rhawa.org. rhawa.org. And if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, make sure you sign up to become a member of RHA because they can help you navigate this really complex world of landlord-tenant laws that we are dealing with here. Okay, we'll get to comments coming up next. I want to talk about our daily subscriber show poll first with this caveat. So I'm going to put the exact same poll out tomorrow. Because what I want to do, I'm airing that special report tonight. I obviously shared with you guys on the show today what my experience was like down in Portland. And so I wanted to ask you before the show about your opinion and interpretation of everything that's happening in Portland and the president's alleged response. And then I want to, after you've seen everything and heard sort of my take on it, I want to see whether you change your mind on any of this stuff. All right. So in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X, I asked you guys, based on what you know right now, do you support President Donald Trump deploying National Guard soldiers to Portland to protect the ICE facility? Yes or no? Nicole, yes or no?
I mean, to support the facility, yes.
Okay.
But
National Guard.
Well, to support the facility.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And I was go ahead.
No, yeah, I just think that that's the key part there. I mean, I guess if they're just going to continue to let those people sit out there, then they need some help.
Yeah. And based on what I saw, I think it can be done with more federal agents just as effectively. Because the National Guard is like citizen soldiers. And I'm not saying they're not capable of doing the job. But the amount of sort of pushback that you get for that versus, hey, let's just bring in more DHS agents to kind of do what they've been doing night after night and just sort of clear the streets. I don't know that it matters so much whether it's National Guard or these DHS federal agents. And it actually might have less to complain about if it's not National Guard. Let's see. So 95% of you are saying, yes, you would support it. Jay Lang, the fact that anyone thinks it's in the job description for federal officers to be harassed and assaulted is insane, to say nothing about the damage caused to buildings and vehicles. Yeah, I agree. Todd says, I agree with it. I do wish you would not put the bravado out about it. I would have been running security cameras so that people in other parts of the country could see the regular assaults. Most of the U.S. has no idea what's happening and think the rhetoric is too much. We need a detailed list of damage to the building, officers injured, etc. I would love to see members of Congress who are complaining to go into the facility and stay a night or two. They should tell no one they're there and experience what's happening. We also need more media from the local neighborhood and the impact of the riots. And I'll tell you, Portland media sucks. Sucks. They have rarely been there over the last 100 days. And then I saw these insane articles going out about like, Portlanders at the apartment building across the street say they support the occupation. It took me 10 minutes to find one of the people living in that apartment building who didn't support it and wanted the feds to come in. Not to mention the woman who was all over the news and sued the city, who lived in that apartment complex, which is an affordable housing complex, sued the city because the city wouldn't do anything about it. So they put out this headline basically like, everyone supports it, everything is great. And it's like, oh my God. It's obviously intentionally dishonest, but what do you expect from the media? Let's see, D. Penrod. Our cities are being turned into dens of what is that word? I can't read it. Iniquity? drug abuse and homelessness. Democrats say they support the rights of all, but all they support is power and control. Send the troops to Portland and maybe even Seattle. Absolutely. If three Proud Boys showed up, the police would be in hysterics. They allow left-wing insanity because they have no choice. The inmates were on the asylum. Cindy says, enough is enough. Keep the legal, though. Keep it legal, though. If it was anyone but Trump, I bet they'd take the help. Yeah, 100%. I think if it was anyone but Trump,
I'm not sure there'd be
there would be
out
a protest.
There. Yeah.
No, because Biden deported more people in his 4 years than Trump has now in five. People weren't protesting Biden. So it's all about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, I just wish they could do more in communities to help stop the drug and mental health issues that the Democrats love to support. PV and Wah says yes, and the city should be stripped of any federal dollars to compensate for the damage to the buildings and all costs involved in quelling these peaceful protests. My taxes should not pay for this crap. Yeah, and that is absolutely, utterly ridiculous that it is. It's a federal building in a city. So, yes, they have an obligation to protect their own building. But look at any other building in the city of Portland. If a business got broken into night after night after night, you don't think Portland police would be there to help? So because it's a federal building, they're like, you're on your own. It's insane. And I feel bad for the Portland officers. I actually won't say who, but I got an email from a mother of a Portland officer last night saying they have no faith in their police chief. He's basically making the job political. They hate working for him. And I was like, I does it not surprise me. It's that bad.
That's what they need is like this mass exodus of officers or they need, yeah. I mean, go somewhere. All
gotta leave.
Offering people crazy money to go to other agencies.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone stays and suffers. Okay, let's get to some comments from our live stream on our Portland coverage, Baron of Gray Matter. To America's multicultural democracy, constitutional republic. They cannot coexist. This is what they say. It's a threat to our democracy. Why deporting their citizens is destroying their democracy. Old Sub Sailor, $10 super chat. The reason nothing gets fixed is because they're making money laundering and they're money laundering it through the NGOs and the various industrial complexes. Oh, for sure. On homelessness. Let's see. Also says if comrades Ferguson and Brown and Jellyfish Harrell would do why Jellyfish Harrell? What does that mean? Would do
slippery,
their jobs?
Slippery,
wouldn't
slippery,
Trump
slimy.
Wouldn't be coming to Seattle. They are so busy dodging issues and blaming President Trump for everything. Samantha Olson. I grew up near Portland, lived in Vancouver for years. Portland today looks nothing like it did when I grew up or even in the early 2000s. It's Multnomah County wide, even the 205 side. Moon Goddess, the definition of woke, the state of awareness only achieved by people stupid enough to find injustice with everything except their own actions. Yeah. Handgun Safe, Oregon and Washington are hot zones for Antifa. The local governments actively act to preserve this situation. Oh, I agree, because Antifa is an arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, that's the only explanation for it. They're acting on their behalf. They're sort of the enforcement arm, if you will, of the Democratic Party. And again, I'm going to, on the show tomorrow, talk a little bit about some of my observations with Antifa in Portland versus Antifa here, because I think there's some interesting takeaways.
I saw your sign, the picture of the person with the sign, Antifa.
Oh, Aunt-tifa.
Or Aunt-tifa. There you go.
Yeah, it was a woman in a wheelchair, and her sign said Aunt-tifa, and she had presumably her two nieces who were holding anti-Trump signs. And I was like, oh my goodness, why?
Child abuse.
Don't get dead. Trump is totally within his jurisdiction to protect federal buildings without approval of anyone. I agree with that. The question I have is by what means? On Where in the World is Bob? Bolt Up says Bob's getting his taxpayer-funded laser hair removal. Yep. As part of the budget, not only do the transgender inmates get free laser hair removal, but anyone in state government, free laser hair removal. I made that up. Don't actually believe that that's true, but it might be. Stephanie Brushwood, Ferguson is very active on X. He's posting right now. Oh, yeah, he's posting up a storm.
I was going to say, I actually think somebody else is doing it because...
Oh, for sure.
I mean, because it's more active than usual. It's extra active.
Yeah, Jan says, I bet Bob's meeting with other Democratic governors. He's doing something about Trump.
Oh, I think he's on vacation, so if you're on vacation, eyes open.
Maybe that's how he wants to spend his vacation.
Maybe
he's obsessing over Donald Trump.
I know, he's at East Coast, so I'm thinking maybe Miranda should be on the lookout in Miami.
Yeah. on initiative gatherers, signature gatherers being attacked. Not the Batman. It's not surprising. They're all ACAB until they need signature gatherers removed. I don't know what that means. I see. So the left is calling the police on signature gatherers.
Yeah.
And usually they hate the cops, usually but then they need the them. Cops. And so they'll call 911.
Remove them. It's very interesting, all the store store pushback that signature gatherers are getting.
Yeah.
I am shocked by that. I mean, the signature,
the stores.
It's just it's shocking. All the stores are pushing back on the signature gatherers, not on the crazies that are harassing them, but a lot of stores are pushing back. So if you're a store, you should reach out and
say, hey, we'll be a location.
Signature gatherers.
100%. Suzanne, I saw a post on Nextdoor for someone telling people to call 911 for this. Crazy. Crazy. Nice. Steve Van Valkenburg. What a cool name. The left attempting to have initiative signature gatherers removed or harassed, or worse, stealing or destroying signed initiatives, is plain and simple voter suppression. I agree. The very thing they scream at conservatives for simply asking that voters show ID before voting. I agree. Isn't it weird? And Ron Dog gave a nice $5 super chat and just said, I love Undivided. Thank you. We love you too. We love you too.
And it is going to be, we're going to stay on this because I want to know that. I mean, now we have this tweet from Brown that he's going to pursue and making sure people are held accountable for the way that these signature gatherers are being treated.
Yeah.
And because I'm having a really hard time seeing anything, any follow through right now. I've requested a lot of documents.
Yeah.
I've requested a lot of police reports, and I'm having a really hard time, more difficult than typical to get police reports at this point. And that's very strange.
Most departments will just give them to us. Like, you arrested someone.
So
there's
easy,
a police report.
Typically.
It's one page. Just give it to us. So having to go through a PDR for those is unusual. We're also requesting the 911 calls. We want to hear the unhinged 911 calls. So as soon as we get those, we'll play them for you. And I'm sure a bunch of you were like, request those. Already done. First thing
we're
we did.
Not gonna let this go.
Not going to let it go. No, we'll have a lot of updates. All right. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Trump did talk about Seattle, but not what's happening in Seattle right now. First, we are now working with Valentine Roofing, our newest wonderful sponsor here on Undivided. If you need a new roof or you're worried you might need a new roof, but you aren't exactly sure, give our friends at Valentine a call, 206 Roofing. So they'll do a couple things. So first, if you just know, my roof's on its last legs, it needs to be replaced. So don't wait until the heavy rain hits. They'll give you a free roof assessment. And of course, if they get there and they do think that your roof can be repaired, they'll give you that option. They won't just push you to get a new roof. If you do need a new roof, if it's leaking now, they'll come in, they'll do a free leak stop if necessary, make sure all the leaks are fixed so there's no further damage that happens, and then they'll replace your roof. So they also offer, by the way, this is important, zero down financing for most projects. It can be a big purchase for homeowners, so you can get the work done, pay over time, and they do more than just roofing. You need new siding, gutters, attic insulation, exterior cleaning. You can expect the same great service. So schedule your free estimate by calling 206 Roofing. Again, 206 Roofing. Please tell them you heard about them on Undivided. Valentine Roofing, 206 Roofing. With that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, so President Donald Trump spoke to military leaders this morning, and he had an odd recollection of the Summer of Love in 2020, of course, the Chaz Chop occupied protest zone. Here's what he said.
Where they took over parts of Seattle. They actually took over a big percentage of Seattle.
Not true.
Think of that. You remember that. That was a while ago. And I sent in the troops and they were gone as soon as I sent them in. Oh, when we send in the troops, if you have a real leader that says you got to do what you have to do, I put that out the other day. You got to do what you got to do.
Not true. Okay. I was like, this is the thing. I love that man. Certain. Don't get too excited. He does either misremember or overstate quite a bit.
Maybe somebody told him that's what happened.
Like, hey, yeah, he didn't call in the troops. Unfortunately, CHOP lasted about a month before anybody did anything. And just for the record, since I've encouraged people not to engage in hyperbole, wasn't a large percentage of the city, but it was six city blocks, and it was quite a serious and dangerous situation. All right, that has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Remember, we'll have a special report coming up tonight, so stay tuned. That'll drop across all of our Undivided platforms for you to watch. Gosh, what else? We'll talk about Antifa tomorrow. If you haven't signed up to support the show, it's how we pay to go down to Portland and cover things and all that good stuff. So we appreciate the support of our paid subscribers. It's $5 a month. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPOD.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. See you tomorrow.